Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Happy Monday and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm your co-host, Michelle Pache, and I'm here today with Dr. Rice as host. We warmly welcome you to the show and thank you for choosing to be with us. Today is December 23rd, 2013. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you into queue to talk with Dr. Rice. We encourage you to call in with your comments or questions, because then you actively strengthen and deepen your process. So now, let's welcome Michael in the process of learning and practicing forgiveness.
Thank you, young lady. How are you today?
Oh, I'm quite well. I'm in the hallway at our little town library.
Oh, okay. Very cool. Well, thank you for being here.
A major ice storm hit Ingham County, southeast Michigan, and tens and thousands of people are without power probably for the rest of the week.
Ouch. Oh, I hadn't heard. We haven't been watching any media. I hadn't heard anything about that. Bless your hearts. Well, we hold the space for warmth to come in. My goodness, that's tough for Christmas week. Well, we hold everybody that's without power and anybody in the world that's without whatever. You know, we talked a couple of weeks ago on the show about the happening in the Philippines, and it's interesting that that's something that just seemed to just totally and completely disappear from the culture, and the trauma that's going on for people there is still just monumental. So we hold them in a blessing, and anyone in the world who's experiencing life other than the way it's designed to be experienced, we are here to hold the space for that to shift and for that to change, and for us to return to the truth of who we are as human beings. If you're new to the show, a question that you'll hear me ask often is, how many have ever held a newborn child? When you hold a newborn child, if you go past yourself and tap into the essence of the newborn, you'll get to experience what human life is, directly, totally, completely what human life is. And it is this awesome presence of aliveness and joy and the presence of love. And so recognizing that as human life, we recognize that the world has instilled in most of us something different than our human lives. And out of that space of pain or trauma comes the replication of the pain or trauma again and again and again for most people, until one finds themselves a path to healing. And the ancient Aramaic Yeshua gave us some powerful, powerful, awesome tools. And we are here to teach those tools. We are here to learn those tools, to integrate them into our lives, into our culture, and into the world in a planetary level. And so we join with you in creating a space for healing. And in this work, we define healing as the ability to replace any form of pain or trauma with the presence of love. That changes things on every level, physically, mentally, emotionally, on a cellular level and on a global level. And so to return to our true essence is what this work is all about. And one of the things that's been sort of coming around for me as I've been looking at the game as it's played on the earth is this dynamic we've been talking about called the power person dynamic. And in the workshop, Codependence to Interdependence, we introduced the concept of a power person. And the power person is the person who had more power over your life than you did at some stage in your development. Usually it's when we're very small, and most often it's apparent, though not necessarily. And when that person has more power over our lives than we do, and we interpret it out of our small minds as a survival issue, then the tendency is to take on the dynamics that we learned in interaction with the power person. And this is something that tends to govern virtually the whole world. And what we're looking to do is to invite every person who is governed by those dynamics to become aware of it and bring healing to that part of their minds. What does that power person dynamic look like? Well, as long as one is functioning out of their power person dynamic, what it's going to look like is doing the same thing the power person did, only doing it to someone else, passing along the dynamic. And there are three levels of behavior when one is functioning out of their power person dynamic. The first level of behavior is that when there's no stress, one will automatically tend to do whatever they did to get along with their power person. When stress starts to build, one will tend to move into doing whatever it is that they did to resist and survive with their power person. When one becomes ultra-stressed, they will tend to do whatever the power person did to them that they hated the most. People are governed by that dynamic 10, 20, 30, 50, 80, 90 years later. If they never go inside themselves and clean that up, if they never apply the tool of forgiveness to those dynamics, then those dynamics run them. And when we talk about the tool of forgiveness, we're not talking about me letting you or anybody else off the hook because my internal dynamics are in operation. So if there is pain, if there is trauma happening inside of me, what our culture has taught us is that whenever that occurs, it's always somebody else's fault. And if you believe that, then the root of the pain or trauma that's being experienced, and oftentimes, as I say, it comes from the power person dynamic, that root tends to simply repeat, 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 and repeat. And until we wake up and go beyond that power person dynamic, then we're run by that very idea, that very trauma that we hated the most that the power person did. And so when one wakes up to that operation being operational in their lives, one has the opportunity to go inside and apply the tool of forgiveness. And that tool of forgiveness is the how-to of going inside of yourself and removing that dynamic and living out of something different than what was learned in interaction with the power person. So let's say, for instance, a power person really gave the child messages of, let's say, for instance, inferiority. You know, you're stupid, you'll never amount to anything, you're no good. We actually had a woman in a workshop last year who, when people were sharing some of the messages they got from their power persons, had shared that when she was 6 years of age, her father sat her down and told her that until she had come into the family had been perfect. And since she had entered the family had been destroyed. What a message to give a child. Now, that's going to create a lot of stress for the child, and it usually those kinds of messages are given in an environment of stress. It's when the power person is stressed that they're passing on the generational message of their power person, and so everybody then in that environment tends to be in that state of stress. At any point in the future, someone who's received that type of message from their power person is going to tend to pass that message on in the future whenever they are under that kind of stress. Now, one of the tricks is a person who's doing that, their mind will not say, well, here I am passing on a message of inferiority to the person in front of me just like my power person did. The mind isn't going to say that. The mind is going to put it into a disguise. The mind will camouflage that dynamic to look like something else. So when one delivers the message to another that they're inferior, and it might take all kinds of forms, you know, having to do everything for them, having to tell them how to do everything, even the simplest of thing, delivers a message that you're inferior, you're not capable. But the camouflage, inside of the camouflaged mind, it's going to look like something else. It's going to look like, well, you know, I'm just being helpful. I'm just, you know, telling them the truth. They need to. And so when someone lives in that, they're living in blockage of truth. And you may not believe that what your power person did to you, you do. In fact, you probably don't believe it. You probably say to yourself, well, you know, that was so terrible, I swore I would never do that. And under it all, whatever the power person did, you can guarantee yourself, unless you've gone in and undone that dynamic, unless you've applied forgiveness to that internal process and removed it, you do it. If your power person bullied, you may not believe you bully, but you do. If they put out messages of stupidity, so do you. If their messages were about how you were never good enough, you could never do it right, guess what? With your mind's trickery, you're going to believe it's something else, but you're going to give those same messages. So the abuse that people do, and the power person, if you ask the power person, did you ever give your child messages that they were inferior? They would say, no, of course not. I loved and cherished my child, and I always acknowledged them and always upheld them and uplifted them. And they believe that that's true. If you ask the average person, they believe that that's true because they were probably passing on a power person dynamic that was exactly the same as what their power person did to them. So the mind, once again, camouflages the messages to look like something else. The parent might say, well, you know, I disciplined my child, I taught them well, et cetera, when they gave those messages on a continuing basis. One of the ways you'll be able to know that you're doing this when your mind is lying to you is it will produce conflicting results in your life, in your relationships, in your business relationships. So there's a suffix that's added to a word in Aramaic. The level of psychological understanding they had in the Aramaic and what's built into language is just amazing. And there's a suffix that when it's added to a word says that one is being controlled from an unconscious part of the mind. What that means is that internally there's one thing going on, but on the surface, in conscious awareness, it looks like something totally different. It doesn't look like what's going on in the unconscious level. And so in the Aramaic, when they added uta, O-O-T-A, to that, whatever that dynamic was, it was reflecting that one was being controlled in their perception and their behavior by an unconscious part of the mind. And these dynamics just get passed on and on and on. They happen in politics. They happen in religion. A lot of people, you know, they rail against religion because of the abuses that were done. But if the religious person has never been taught how to clean up their own mind, they're subject to the same thing as everybody else. They're no different. If they were taken advantage of by their power person, then they'll take advantage of people. If there were messages of inferiority, they'll pass on those messages of inferiority. If there was abuse, that person will pass on abuse. But they'll say, you know, I did it, you know, I didn't spare the rod and spoil the child. I did it to make them better people, all the while instilling abuse. And it happens in the business realm. Teachers do it to their students. Parents do it to their children. Spouses do it to each other. And one of the messages I want to offer here is that you have the right to change these dynamics if they are a part of your life. Again, you'll know they're a part of your life if you're producing different results than the ones you intended. Well, I only said that to be loving, and the person reared up and raged at you. You know that there's another level of mind involved in whatever it is that's producing that result. There's something other than what's conscious. And again, you have the right to change these generational dynamics, but you've got to be able to access the hidden part of the mind in order to do it. You can't just say, oh, I'd like that to change. You can't sit around and contemplate and hope and wish. You can't even pray that those dynamics will change, because they won't change as a result of prayer, or what the world calls prayer. They'll continue to go until those dynamics are directly accessed and changed. And that's what the forgiveness process is all about. If you're not familiar with the process of forgiveness as it was taught from the Aramaic 2,000 years ago, we invite you to go to our website, www.whyagain.org. And in the upper left-hand corner, or in the center of the page, the upper left-hand corner, you'll see a link that says Start Here. If you go to the center of the page, you'll see a red and white bullseye. If you click on that, it will give you an explanation of how to begin the forgiveness process. The reality management worksheet is there. Chapter 24 of my book that explains forgiveness is there. There are at least 6 different radio shows where we've walked somebody through step by step the how-to of forgiveness. So we invite you to access those tools, put them to work in your life. And the purpose for doing this radio show is that you can have a personal conversation with us 5 days a week, an hour a day, to be supported in doing that work of healing. The mind has been called the great trickster, the father of evil. It's been given all kinds of names because it is so bizarre and insane. And 2,000 years ago, it was understood exactly how to dismantle that mind, and it's done through forgiveness. Of course, the trickster mind in the Greek world turned the tool of forgiveness backward. Instead of what it was originally intended to be, a tool for going inside oneself and removing one's own pain, trauma, or insanity, one's own power person dynamics, because that tends to be what runs the whole globe, instead of that, it became, if that dynamic comes up and it hurts, then I find somebody to blame and I forgive them. I let them off the hook. Suffice to say, that does nothing whatsoever to address the dynamics that repeat from within you in every aspect of your life. And we're here to support the integration of that tool of forgiveness in particular, and, of course, another couple of dozen corollary tools, but that's the primary one we want to support, getting to critical mass on the planet. And so that's what we're here to do, and especially coming into this holy day season. You know, there's another trick the mind has played. It's holidays. It's about toys and things and money and glitter and instead of being about stepping into your wholeness. And so in this holy day season, where a lot of people are heading back home, are going to be interacting with people that perhaps they avoid the rest of the year, but they're kind of obligated because it's the holy days to get together. And when one goes back into that environment and one does their work, everything begins to change. I remember a young man who came to an intensive at Heartland. Oh, this goes back 20 years ago now. And this young man was gay. And he came and started to work on the forgiveness process around his father. His father had thrown him out of his life, would have nothing to do with him at a very young age, was extremely abusive. And this young man shared with us that, you know, he would go back home every year. He'd moved far away from home, but he would go back each year to honor his mother and spend time with his mother. And his father would just not have anything to do with him, just disowned him, basically. That first 9-day intensive he spent almost all day, every day, in tears over having to go home and deal with this rejection and this hatred that he felt from his father. As he went inside and started to clean up the pain that he held there, we were back in the city where he lived. I don't remember how much later, a couple of years later, but he really deeply worked around this issue. And it was shortly after Christmas, and he shared that he'd gone home to be with his mom. And all of a sudden, everything had changed with his father. When he came in, his father embraced him. And he shared that that night, which, and this was unheard of, and this man is in his 50s, unheard of. His father came upstairs to his bedroom when he was getting ready to go to bed and tucked him in bed and said, and it's interesting to watch how the healing process spreads throughout a family system. The words he shared that his father said were, "I just wanted to make sure my little boy," now this guy's 50 at this point, "I just wanted to make sure my little boy has everything he needs." And he actually tucked his son in for the first time in his life, or at least the first time in memory for this young man. They're the kind of changes that can take place when one goes inside and heals. They create an energetic vortex that starts to shift the energetic patterns in the people around them. And that's what we're here to support. We're here to support each of you in learning to remove painful dynamics so that you can be that energy vortex. You can be that space of love within your family system, within your community system, and bring healing on a global level. One of the things we're working toward is developing critical mass and processing. The definition we use in this work of processing is the ability to keep love conscious, active, and present when something less than love comes up. We're here to support that as a practice. One of the things we invite each of you to do, especially if you're new to the show, if you're not, then you've probably heard this invitation before. But each day we are, as a group, as a community, setting our alarms at 5 minutes before showtime. Wherever you happen to be in the world, 5 minutes before showtime, we invite you to have your clock set for your alarm to go off. You know, everybody's got one on their phone pretty much these days. Put your alarm on at 5:02 and stop when the alarm goes off and take just a minute or two to center in and focus on being that active space of love. And as we synchronize as a community throughout the world, all corners of the globe, those points of light, will join on deeper and deeper levels until the energetic pattern of the active presence of love circles our globe in such a powerful way that it creates that vortex on still a larger level than within just our own families, our own homes, our own communities. And so that's what we're here to support, and we're delighted that you're taking your time to share this time with us. And if you have a question or a thought, our call-in number is 646-200-4169. That's 646-200-4169. We would love to hear your voice and your questions as you begin to integrate these tools. Many, many questions come forward. And oftentimes what appear to be the simplest and most basic questions become some of the most important ones. And so we invite you to ask your question. If you call into that number and you have a question for us, push one. That will put a hand up, and Michelle will respond by putting you in a queue to chat with us on the air. So Michelle, is Dr. Tim with us today?
He is.
He is. Well, let's say hello to the young man and ask him how he be and what kind of exciting things are happening in his world. Anything to share today?
Well, good afternoon. I'm trying out a new headset to see if my voice is more clear than on the speakerphone. Am I coming through loud and clear?
You're loud and clear.
Okay.
Loud and clear, sir.
And I'm just, I'm at the end of three sessions in a row this morning, and the theme is basically everything you just talked about. So there's that synchronicity happening, as often happens. We were talking about the Uta suffix, and getting driven by the unconscious content, and how there's nothing I can do about it unless I become conscious of it in one way or another. So that's been the theme. I feel like you just summarized my morning for me. So beyond that, I don't have much to add other than the fact that we're doing very well here, preparing for the holy days and spending time with family, and glad to be on the team.
Cool, awesome. Well, let's check with Michelle, see if she's got anything to share, and or if there's anybody in the chat room with a hand up, in the chat room with a question or thought for us, or anybody in the phone queue with a hand up. Michelle?
Well, Michael, first I'd like to say I apologize to any chatters out there. I overlooked that when I come to the library and use their wireless network, I think they cut off Flash to avoid gamers, and so that disables my ability to connect with a chat room. So if Peace or any of our guests are out there, that's the story, and unfortunately I have no way to correct it at this moment. But we do have several.
Okay. Well, I certainly understand that, and we'll thank the library for allowing you to use their internet, and certainly understand their wish to protect their privacy and such. So, we'll apologize to anybody in the chat room that you're not going to be able to ask questions or make comments there today.
And it was nice. A gentleman came out of the library into the hallway and offered me a chair. I'm sitting on the floor, and I passed, but I thought that was real sweet. But, Michael, it looks like we have a Skype caller on the switchboard. So I don't – the number's just 11111. So let's see if we can talk with them.
Great, let's do it. Skype caller.
Hello?
Well, give us a name. Where are you calling from?
Oh, hi. Hi, Dr. Michael. This is Ramona. I'm calling from New York. I called in –
Hi, Ramona.
Hi, how are you?
I'm blessed and highly favored. How about you?
I'm fine. I'm saying hi to Jeannie and hi, Michelle. And I have three questions.
Okay.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to ask all three questions. I don't want to take up, too much time. My first question, because I began the process, but, I spoke last Wednesday, I think it was, and it took me a day or two to gather all of the information, read up, go to the website, and download the worksheets. And so I began over the weekend, and so some questions came to me. And so one of the questions that I have is how can I target an area of forgiveness by looking at the results in my life? For example, I notice a pattern, like I'm so capable, I'm capable of a lot of things, but in business particularly, I have an inclination toward business, and I noticed that over the last couple of years, I haven't been able to do much of anything. And so based on, I'm in sales, so that's important because in sales, if you don't make sales, you don't eat. And so, I'm thinking, is there a way to understand or target an area of forgiveness based on, particular situations or results?
Absolutely. And, the way that you can do worksheets around that is you might put yourself as number 1A in the equation.
Okay.
So you're doing worksheets on self. And, for instance, it might be feeling incapable or incompetent. It kind of maybe fits with messages given to you by your power person. If that's the dynamic you're talking about, did you ever get messages from your power person that you were incompetent?
Well, absolutely, and I just thought it was divinely ordered that you began to show speaking on that very topic because I had that worksheet and I didn't know what to do with it. I didn't know what to do with it, but now I know exactly what to do with it.
Right. So you can do that worksheet on self. You could put your power person. You could put your power person in that worksheet. So number one A would be, you know, if it was mom or dad or big sister, whatever, you could put their name in there, and proceed with you know, dealing with the messages that were given by them to you, and the way that you embodied them. You could perhaps, you know, there comes a point where your boss is putting pressure on you to meet your quota. And you're feeling just, you know, gee, like I shrink into nothing. I shrink into smallness when the boss puts pressure on. And bang, there you are, another power person dynamic with the power person and having felt small. So you're going back into childhood. So you might do worksheets on your boss and feeling small. You might then shift from the boss is the object of attention to that worksheet to, again, self being the object of that worksheet, and I'm feeling small and incapable. So they would be some of the ways that you could integrate and use the worksheet process in that regard. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, yeah. It makes perfect sense. So I'm going to get to work on that today. I have two more questions, and the second one is, how can I tell if the process is working? Like, if I'm truly forgiving, and, well, basically, yeah, that's, how can I tell if I've truly forgiven?
Well, you'll start to notice a difference in the way that you feel, first of all. And you may start to notice a difference in the behavior of the people around you. And if you get to some of your really deeper core issues, like this one sounds like it's probably one of the core issues. When you start looking at that one, you know, when they said to Yeshua, how many of these worksheets do we have to do? Is seven enough? In Aramaic, his answer was no. It was 77 times 70. And 77 times 70 is not a literal number, but rather means that you're going to do an infinite amount of work around a given issue until you're complete with it. And you can bet that if your power person gave you messages of inadequacy and you're feeling inadequate, then your power person probably received messages of inadequacy. And as you break through those, then literally the control factor that those unconscious dynamics have on you will weaken each time you apply the forgiveness process. And so each time you forgive, whatever the dynamic is that needs to be healed is going to tend to have less of an impact until sometimes you hit a whole new level of vitality, and then there's just the major overwhelming aspect of it in your face. As you hit new levels of vitality, as you're doing your work and are strengthening in your skills, then you'll be able to handle the deeper levels. And when the deeper levels come up, of course, you get the experience of the deeper levels. So that would be my take on that one.
Well, that was excellent. And, you know, you have such a way of making everything clear and easy because that was – you know, quite, I think I got upset with myself. I got upset with myself because, you know, I want so much to do the work and I've wasted so much time not doing the work that I probably built up. Like, I noticed that, you know, I have a lot of tension and, you know, I wanted, I believe I made progress, but at the same time, I was creating tension for myself by not being clear on how to proceed and just speaking with you and being able to call in is a great thing because I can get clarity, and I'm so thankful to you for that. I have one last question. Is it okay if I answer
Before you move on to your third question, let me just make a comment on what you just said. Remember that one of the key principles in this work is the principle of denial. And the impact that denial has is that when we're in denial, we hide something from ourselves. And so if you listen to your words as you just spoke them, you told us how you were upset because of something outside of you. And whenever I Our working definition of denial is this. When I speak of something outside of me as the cause of something inside of me, then I'm cut off. I'm in denial, and I dissociate from that in me which needs to be healed. So when I say, I was upset because thus and so happened, I'm hiding the core of my upset. The truth is, you weren't upset because that happened at all. You were upset because inside of you is upset.
Well,
you can bet that very upset was the same kind of upset that your power person had when you were around them. And so as you get clear and go, you know, I realize that I went into this upset toward myself, and boy, do I ever recognize that. That's the way my power person was upset with me all the time. So I must be upset because I've been structured with all this upset that I need to heal, rather than I'm upset because I didn't perform. I'm upset because that upset is in me. And as I get in touch with deeper and deeper levels and layers, as I tell myself the truth, I'm not angry because Charlie said this. Yes, Charlie triggered with his words an anger that I wasn't even aware of. But I'm angry because there's anger in me. I'm sad because there's sadness in me. I'm enraged because there's rage in me. It's never because of something outside of us. And when I start to bring my language into alignment, then my mind's given permission to show me the deeper parts that need to be healed, and I'll just go zip, zip, zip right through those parts.
Well, I mean, I'm so glad you said this, because at one point I did realize it, but then I kept going back to denial. Like, there was a couple occasions where I did realize it, and then I just went back into that same mode. And so I'm concerned because I'm doing this work and I have a child with me. And I don't want to project what I'm going through onto my child. I hope
so,
I'm making
so my
sense.
Input, remember, our words direct our minds. And so when I get, and one of the things we know about what we call the non-being mind, the mind based in hostility and fear, is it always knows exactly what it doesn't want and therefore creates it. So when I get really clear, boy, I don't ever want to do this to my child, guess what I'm getting ready to do? Exactly that. And so my invitation to you would be to start to shift and start to think about, what do you really want to do with your child? What is it you really want to do with your child, as opposed to not project it? Because if you talk about how you're not going to project it, guess what you're going to do? You're going to project
it. I'm going to wind up doing
that. So what would be an alternative conversation?
Well, I would like to do the sheets with my child. Hello, Dr. Rice?
Awesome. So then sit down. You know, there's a children's version of the worksheet in that list. So you can go to the children's version. What age is your child?
Seven.
Perfect. There's a children's version, and you can work them up to that seven-step worksheet that you're working on and teach them the process, but also in terms of, you know, that specific issue of, I don't want to project. What do you want to do?
I want to put an end to all of this pain, because I feel like I have a lot of pain, anger, and hostility inside of me, and I don't even know where I'm going with it, and I do need to be very clear. I don't know what to say.
So notice...
At a loss for words.
Right, and that's because you can't conceive. You know, in order to give birth to an experience, we have to conceive of something.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, the frequencies in your mind, and they tend to be generationally imposed, the frequencies are those of pain. So when I think about what I want to do, I can't focus on anything except the frequencies that are in me, and it's those frequencies of pain and what I don't want to do. And it can be difficult to make the leap to what I really want to do. So maybe to think in terms of, what I really want to do is bring my child up consciously, speak with awareness. When I have hostility or fear, or my child has hostility or fear, I want to create a space where we connect in love and we process through those things. And so you're starting to focus on where you want to go rather than where you've been and you don't want to go again. But because that's the only thing you can conceive of, that's what you give birth to.
Thank you, Dr. Rice. Thank you so much.
So I notice one of the gifts that your power person gave you, because it seems to be pretty automatic for you, is to have appreciation when you receive something. I noticed the last time you called, you were really strong in your appreciation. You've said it about four times already. So that's probably, you know, the positive side of a power person dynamic is that you probably had a power person who lived with a significant amount of appreciation. Well, there was some insanity, too, that there was the other side of the coin. And you might appreciate them for that. Turn that back toward them.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. I like that. I'm at this point in my journey that I can let all of this go. I just feel like I've been holding on. Yeah, I've been holding on to this for so long. Yay! Woohoo!
The idea. That's exactly what we're here to support. And you know, you've just given our whole audience an awesome example of willingness and some of the principles of the work, and that's what really helps people to understand it and integrate it on deeper and deeper levels. So we appreciate you.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much. And I feel like you give me that space because you say that I could call in, and I'm like, Dr. Rice doesn't know I'm going to be calling in a lot. I'm going to be calling in, of course.
Well, the reason we do the show is exactly for that purpose, is to create that space. When we do an intensive workshop, there's a great deal of time and energy that we put into creating a space where it's safe enough to look at everything, safe enough to just, you know, let whatever's in there come forward and then have the willingness to receive support in shifting and correcting it. And you've done that very gracefully. Some people would go into hostility when I fed back some of the things that I just fed back to you. So I appreciate the fact that you're committed, you're on the path, and that willingness, you know, I call willingness cosmic grease. And the quantity of cosmic grease that you've got is abundant, and that's probably one of the gifts that was given to you by your power person. So appreciate them for it.
Okay. Thank you. I have one more question, but I don't know if we have
time.
Go
for it. We've got time. That's what we're here for.
I was thinking, you know, when I was in college, I had a lot of professors, and they gave a lot of information, and most of it was wrong, but I had a thought, and I don't know why this thought is bugging me, but the thought was that I was in a course, and they were talking about the founding fathers of the country, and then we got on this issue. I think it was for child psychology. And then we got on this issue of Dr. John Locke, and I don't know if you're familiar with him. And he said that children are tabula rasas or blank slates. And I don't believe that I think that's error because people come here with issues. Is that right or is that not right?
Well, I think Dr. Locke was totally in error in that regard. The child comes in as this awesome presence of love. The being that they are carries that energy and that experience of being. And then carbon-based memory, the body-mind unit, this multi-generational database, is filled with all kinds of dynamics. When the child comes in, the child has not yet learned to identify with those dynamics as who they are. And so as life comes along and resonates things and serves up experiences, those experiences tend to resonate the dynamics of the generation. And this is another principle we go into in our codependence work, in the workshop Codependence to Interdependence. And the child, with those things that are resonated, the messages that come from the power person, tends to start to build an idea of self that is false, an idea based in all of the errant messages and the aberrant messages of the power person. And there comes a moment where the child, and it's usually because of great deals of stress around the power person, buys into those messages as who they are, you know, on the inferiority game, comes to the point where literally an idea of who I am based in those errant messages kind of coagulate into a self that I think I am. And until I forgive those dynamics, I'll think I'm that self. And the moment where one gives up the direct, full-blown experience of being and being fueled by the active presence of love, the moment at which that is given up is a moment of the most intense pain, the most traumatic rage for most people that anyone will ever go through. And it's buying into those messages and falling. You know, this is really the story of the fall of man. When we fall out of the state of awareness of ourselves and being connected to the direct experience of love and fall into, I'm inferior, I'm not good enough, that non-being self, that's the self. If you listen to Yeshua, he says, in order for you to live, you've got to die. And it's like, wait a minute, that doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. And what he's saying is you've got to die to the false self that you bought as who you are. And when you do that, when you disconnect from that, when you dissolve that through forgiveness, that non-being self, it gets weaker and weaker and weaker, and then comes back the direct, full-blown experience of this awesome presence of love that is just so enlivening and so joyful. There's nothing in the non-being world, in the standard hostility and fear-based world, in words, that even starts to describe that experience. They're all such a mere shadow of that experience, but you'll know when you taste it, and that's one of the ideas of the work, is to get back to where you taste that, and then it becomes something that you pursue until you live that continuously.
Wow. As you were saying that, I thought about the scripture. I think it's 2 Corinthians. It's the scripture about love. And it says, now we see through the glass dimly, but then we'll see face to face. And so I guess what that means is that when we arrive at that point that you're explaining, then there's nothing is hidden. Everything is clear. It's a joyous thing. I'll look into a mirror and I'll see myself as a being of light, as love. I was trying to think of
exactly.
Many...
That's precisely where we want to go. And Paul is not the best example to follow to experience that. He's got lots of interesting theories, never having met Yeshua, never having worked directly with Yeshua. You'll notice that when Paul is under stress, he does his power person dynamic. When Paul is under stress, he says, he laments, why is it the things I would do, function as love, I cannot do, and the things he literally uses a pretty strong word, he says, the things I hate are what I do. He doesn't understand the core teaching of Yeshua on how to forgive that non-being self, how to remove that non-being self from his structure. So when under stress, that non-being self takes over. He's not a great one to follow for understanding how to do forgiveness because he didn't know. He couldn't do it in his own life, and therefore, of course, he couldn't pass it on to anybody else. And that's the peace that we're looking to restore, that peace that was lost when Paul took over the teachings.
Wow, this is just phenomenal, because I think a lot of people get stuck with Paul. They get stuck at that point in their Christian walk, and they come up with all different ideas and scenarios. And the way you explain it, and even if you didn't know, you could figure this out. I mean, most people don't really know. They can't articulate the Bible because they didn't really read it. They just got an idea. They've listened to pastors. They read it a little bit themselves, but they never really studied. But they could tell that something's not right, something's wrong with that particular, the teachings of Paul. And I think you do a phenomenal job of explaining and articulating just exactly what it is going on and how we need to change. And I'm so appreciative of that. I'm appreciative of you. I'm telling you. Today is phenomenal.
Well, I'm just doing my job, and I'm delighted to be on the team. And, you know, Paul comes forward. When Paul's in that connected space, he comes forward with some beautiful material, some beautiful writing, but he hasn't done the personal work yet. There are lots of people in the ivory tower that say all kinds of wonderful things, but not having integrated the work, it doesn't work in the real world. People are still doing the hostility and fear because they haven't recognized that it's that hostility and fear self based on the power person dynamics that forgiveness needs to be applied to in order to remove that. If Paul had done that, he'd say, you know, it used to be when I was under stress that I would do the things I hated, but now I recognize that I'm a being of light and of love, and I have forgiven those power person dynamics in me, and so here I am doing the things I love to do. That is, function as a true human being and function as love. That's what he'd have been saying. But he's got these little openings where he gets the visual, he gets visions, and he's able to catch it, but he's not able to incarnate it in his own form. To me, the trick is, how do I incarnate? How do I bring, you know, he says, one of the beautiful things he says is to be of like mind with Christ. And what mind did Christ think with, but with the mind of love? And so to incarnate, to embody as love is the goal of the work. But you can't embody the presence of love in a device that's filled with hostility and fear. You've got to remove the hostility and fear, and that's called forgiveness.
I love this. I love it. If, you know, I can understand how it feels because there are times where I say, I'm very happy. I'm very happy. And then for years, there were times where I couldn't remember, you know, what it was like to be happy because I was creating drama, a lot of drama. And, you know, I've been able to progress. And now I'm getting ready to make a quantum leap because I'm really waking up and realizing that there is just so much love and goodness that this vessel can experience. And I'm just so thankful. Yeah, I'm thankful, you know, that I'm able to do this work with you. I'm so grateful.
Well, we're grateful to have you sharing it. And basically, as you listen each day, what you're doing is you're building the brain cells for functioning differently. You go back to Yeshua, and he says, you know, these people who hearing do not hear. These people who seeing yet see not. He's not talking. You know, I think with those who you know, we're in the audience, we can be fairly well assured that most of them had what we call the physical eyes and ears. He wasn't talking about physical eyes having the eyes to see. He wasn't talking about physical eyes. He wasn't talking about physical ears having the ears to see. Here, he was talking about building the brain cells. And so as you build the brain cells for, let's say, something as simple as forgiveness, oh, it's got nothing to do with the brain cells I have of letting other people off the hook because there's pain inside of me. It's a tool I go inside of me and remove my pain with. Oh, there, now I've got some new brain cells. Now when Yeshua says, you must forgive from your heart the wrongs of your brother, I don't hear him making a bleeding heart statement, oh, you forgive from your heart. What I hear him saying is, you've got to go into your own unconscious mind. That's what the word heart means in Aramaic. You've got to go into your own unconscious dynamics and remove what you've been putting into your brain's image of your brother. You must forgive from your heart the wrongs of your brother. Whole new set of brain cells. Ah, so now I dig out a worksheet when I'm upset with what appears to be upset with somebody, and I go inside myself and clean it up. A whole new game is played then.
Wow. Well, I'm going to tell you, I've got a lot of work because I said five. Well, you said five to do a minimum of five, and I said, "Yeah, I will do a minimum of five." And but then I realized I'm doing more than five sheets a day because that's what's necessary for me. Like anytime content arises, I try and just deal with it. And there's a lot of things that arise, and so I had a third question, but that was it, because if...
Well, you're right on track. You're on it.
Well, I'm
on
it?
I said you're right on track. You're on it, and we're delighted to be supporting you and part of it.
Oh, thank you so much.
It is a gift for the whole community for you to be sharing what you're sharing.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much. I'm finished. I'm not going to ask any more questions for today, but hopefully I'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right. Well, blessings, and have the best new year yet of your eternal life and a wondrous holy day on Christmas. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Great input, great questions. Thank you for the interaction. That's awesome. That's exactly what we're here to do. And so, Michelle, do we have any other comments or questions in the well, you don't have the chat room, so
right,
anyone with the hand up in the queue?
Yes, we've got just under 5 minutes left, and it looks like area code 406, which I think is Billings, Montana. And you're live now. Hello.
Hello, this is Peacemaker.
I was hoping it was you.
There, young man. Good to hear your voice. I get to hear about
you
right
now. Yep, just called to let
you
know there's three guests in chat room, no questions, and one of the guests came and gone, and three that stayed throughout the whole show since I've been here, and just keeping the connection with you.
Peace is
well,
the
cool.
First time
we're delighted, and unfortunately, we had a problem with the chat room today, so there was none. So thanks for touching in from it. Glad to hear your voice. How's the weather out in Billings?
Not a problem. The weather is shaky. It's good for Montana. I found a new way to shovel my snow. Instead of shoveling all day long and hurt my back, I just get on my ATV and drive back and forth and clear my road. It's cold. It's about 31 degrees today, and that's the weather. Just finding ways to enjoy life.
We hope that there's warmth in your heart and in your family and in your community, and thanks for putting the call in. We'll look forward to someday getting face-to-face with you, maybe getting out there to Billings.
Always looking forward. And I know you're out of time.
All right, bless you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, take care. Bye-bye. So you've got a couple of minutes left. Dr. Jim, anything else to share in the next couple of minutes? Or Michelle, anything to share?
Well, right after the show here, I'm headed out to meet with my brother. I'm going to take another step forward in honoring my mother, a process I started after the intensive. And for the first time in ninth Christmas, I'm going to be offering her a Christmas present.
Cool. Awesome. Dr. Tim, anything to share with us at the last moment here? Did we lose Dr. Tim?
No, he's here.
Did I hear your voice, Tim? Okay, well, I'll just take a minute and share that we don't have any workshop scheduled at this point in the U.S., however, we're just finalizing the details, and in February, if anybody's ready to take your work to the next level, it looks like, and again, we don't have it fully confirmed yet, but it looks like we're going to do a 9-day, why is this happening to me again, intensive. In February, I believe it'll start on the 23rd. It's a Friday. The Friday closest to the 23rd of February, I believe that's the date. We'll be starting a 9-day intensive in Costa Rica. We have this absolutely beautiful facility. Again, it's not 100% confirmed, but it looks like it's coming together. We're finalizing details probably by tomorrow. And in that workshop, we'll do why is this happening to me again, healing through relationships, communication, did you hear what I think I said, purpose, personal power, and commitment, hands-on energy field work, mind shifters, and still point breathing. So that'll all be done in a 9-day process in February. If anybody wants to come and join us in Costa Rica, we've got this beautiful space. It's a perfect time to be in Costa Rica. It's the end of the rainy season. The rainy season just ended, so it's beautiful, lush, and green. The facility we've got is in the mountains. You can look out over the ocean. It's just awesome. So if you want to join us, touch in and let us know. And the cost is going to be a little more than our normal, you know, where it's usually $15.75. With the extra expenses involved in Costa Rica, it's going to be $17.75. And we're going to include 15 DVDs for anyone who registers for that intensive as a free gift. So there's $600 worth of DVDs. And if you're going to do it, let us know soon. Let us get the DVDs to you. Start working with them. It will make the intensive that much more meaningful. We appreciate you. Have the most awesome holy day on Christmas and the best year yet of your eternal life. It's the best gift you can give the world. Blessings. Thanks for joining us. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com. Sleep.